Jesus died in great inner strength and was raised in great power. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I sent an email to one of the parishioners yesterday, I think it was, and I said, we expect to have some breaking news Sunday morning. And that breaking news is he is alive. He has been seen by the disciples. He has appeared unto Peter. He has appeared unto the women of the church who were the first witnesses and evangelists. He has been seen, physically raised from the dead, and upon this our faith is built. He is a risen Lord. When Jesus died, he ended something. He ended sin's reign. He ended Satan's reign over human beings. He also put an end to the supremacy of men's wisdom. Let those who think they are wise take heed. And finally, he brought an end to death itself. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy power? Abolished, conquered, beaten in the man Jesus Christ. When he arose, he inaugurated something. And so the Easter story, broadly speaking, is the end of one thing and the start of another. And all Christians participate in that start of another. And those who are not Christians do not participate in that. Those who do not participate in the Easter story by faith are perishing. They are lost and without hope in this world. But there is a sure rock that every human being is invited to stand upon, and that rock is Christ, crucified, risen by the power of God. And upon this our faith rests. If Christ be not risen, our faith is in vain, and we are of all people most miserable. When he rose, he inaugurated a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. We live in an inaugurated kingdom, but we still await its culmination and its fullness and its perfection. We are in what one theologian classified as the now, yet not yet. The kingdom is here and yet not in its fullness. And so the struggle continues. He inaugurated the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, we pray to the Father. And it came in Jesus Christ and was inaugurated through his death and resurrection. And we continue to pray for its coming in fullness. We pray for its coming in our lives. We pray for its coming in our churches and in our cities and towns, indeed, in our countries. For one day every knee shall bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee, every town, every city, every nation shall one day bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ claims every inch of this earth. He claims all of this world as his, rightfully as God, and rightfully as its Savior, and rightfully as its representative human being. It is his. So how smart it is of us to be his and to be on the winning side. The resurrection was an intrusion of the supernatural, a sovereign intrusion of the supernatural into our world. Sovereign and unaided, an act of God, done at God's initiative according to his purpose and loving plan. Although there were certainly supernatural forces at work during Christ's suffering and death, Christ's death on the cross itself was very much a natural event. He died as any other man or woman who had been beaten and deprived of sleep and had nails cut through their hands and feet would have died on the cross, painfully pushing to pull himself up so he could grab a breath. And then when the pain became too intense, falling down and pushing and falling down. Until at last, he said, as any human being might who felt the wrath of God coming upon them, for that is what fell on Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then a few minutes later, he was able to say, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed the last and gave up the ghost. So that was, in a sense, the end of man's efforts, man's striving. Because what he did there, he did for us. And he did it as our representative. What was divine about the cross was the love and the character and the strength that Christ continued to display, the love he continued to display for us. He loved us to the end, to his dying breath. He went to the cross loving you and me, everyone here. The resurrection is glorious. It is God's ratifying, confirming stamp upon Christ's death upon the cross. It was the Lord's pleasure to wound him. For he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. And the love of the Father for the Son rushes in. A word is spoken, perhaps. I don't know how the mechanics of this are, but I do know that Christ was raised by the Holy Ghost from the dead. Not as some sort of ephemeral phantasm spirit, but bodily. His body physically rose from the dead. God is very much into sanctifying material things. We are not dualists who say spirit is good and matter is bad. We see that most clearly in the communion of Holy Communion, the service of Holy Communion, when we take these material elements of bread and wine and say this is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. The resurrection is God having the last word. Jesus is resurrected as the new man, the new creation, with a resurrection body that cannot fade or fail or get old and sore, but is eternal. He is now reigning and ruling, never to be defeated. A kingdom of capital L life has been inaugurated. A kingdom of capital L love has been inaugurated, and the Lord reigns forevermore. Preacher checks notes. Hallelujah. Pivot, hinge. He's alive forevermore, he reigns forevermore. And we are part of it all. We have a part in it. His death and resurrection is not somehow disconnected from us sitting here today. For when Christ came, he came as Adam, Son of Man. But not as Adam 1.0, the Adam back in the days of Eve, who fell in the garden and brought us all down with him. But as Adam 2.0, without the defects of Adam 1.0. For he was born of the Virgin Mary with God as his father, like us, yet without sin. And he lived his life like us, yet without sin. And he gave us all of that on the cross. He offered all of that to the Father on our behalf as a sacrifice, as a substitute, as kind of a will this do? Of course, knowing, yes, it will do. But when he rose from the dead, he didn't rise as a solitary man. He rose as a new humanity. And those who by faith connect themselves to Christ, those who by baptism are connected to him, rise with him. If we are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. We are risen with him. Hallelujah. We are made new creatures in Christ. Parts of a new creation. We are called living stones of a new temple wherein God dwells now by his Holy Spirit and will dwell in fullness forever. We touched upon that on Maundy Thursday, where we talked about this glorious vision of the consummation of the end of all things, where John, the one who has visions, beheld a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven from God. And that new Jerusalem is the church and all the heavenly beings that are part of the heavenly chorus, together, united with God forever. And the end of the Bible story that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation ends this way. God says, "They shall be my people, and I will be their God." That's all he wants. That's what he's looking for out of this. I will be their God. They will be my people. What was the struggle to the Israelites under the Old Covenant? God wanted them to be his people and for him to be their God. Right? He's going to have it. It's going to be fulfilled. And we are in the now. It's been inaugurated, but not yet. In fact, we could say this. The not yet is so not yet that the apostles said that becoming a child of God and following this new life and this new path, that great joys come with it, but it also says persecution comes with it if we're doing it right. Not because we're persecutable people, but because the world doesn't like our message. So we have to work it out. In God's eyes, we're already there. It's done. It's finished. It's going to be. And that's a nice thing to know, because too much, I think, when we're on this path of sanctification and this quest for holiness, we're in the struggle, and we feel the struggle, and we feel the lack of progress. And every week we come to church, and the preacher says, "You should be this, you should do that, but that, but that." And you say, "Oh, I'm going to do that." And you go home, and you've fallen before you got out of the parking lot, because you're already annoyed with what some driver's doing on Ina Road. And you think, "Oh, how many times have we given up?" I'll tell you what, Tom, if there was virtue, if there was $5 for every time we've given up, we'd be sitting on Easy Street, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I wouldn't be here this morning.
Yeah. So we have to keep in mind this end goal, which we can only see with eyes of faith, that it's done, it's going to happen. We are going to be made a part of this perfect society and this perfect kingdom, which is pictured in this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Okay, so I'm trying to wrap this thing up now. What? Because of this identity, with Christ. We can say, let me check my notes here. All right, well, it says, say, when Christ died, I died. Would you be prepared to say that? Okay, I'll say it, then you say it. When Christ died, I died.
When Christ died, I died.
Say, when Christ rose, I rose.
When Christ rose, I rose.
Now, if you can say that, you're a Christian. If you find yourself balking at it, you need a bit of prayer there. But we're going on. Say, when Christ was seated, I was seated.
When Christ was seated, I was seated.
And then one more, just to whet your appetite. Say, when he comes again, I shall be like him.
When he comes again, I shall be like him.
Now, doesn't that kind of help us in our path of sanctification and our quest for holiness? When we have this assurance that when he does finally come, we're going to be like him. And you say, oh, Rick, you've really gone too far now. You had me on the first four, but that's not going. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's all I want to do. Someday I want to see the Lord Jesus. The one who loved me, gave his life for me, rose from the grave, and knocks on the door of my heart now saying, Rick, hello. It's so easy to get distracted. The one who knocks on the door of our hearts. We just have to kind of ease into that and let him come into our hearts, which we will have the opportunity to do in a few minutes at communion. Friends, at the cross, Jesus took our defeat and turned it into the biggest victory the world has ever seen. At the resurrection, he becomes present to offer that victory to us. He gave everything at the cross, everything he had, to meet every need we have, and more. He makes it available to you and me. And the resurrection is God's warrant, God's guarantee that it shall be so. New life is available at the cross. Grace is available at the cross. Healing is available. Wholeness is possible in the cross of Jesus. So let us come to Jesus today. Let us take his yoke upon us, for he is meek and lowly in heart, and he is waiting for you now. Amen.